Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, may we hear the good news, the freedom. Understand that in you the scripture is fulfilled. For all power and glory to you, O Lord, now and forever. Amen. Hear, H-E-A-R, hear the power of the written word of God. See the wonder that has taken place. These words are more than ink on paper written by men many years ago. These words are the very word of the living God. I take you to Luke chapter 4 to experience for yourself the wonder of these words. Luke chapter 4 begins with Jesus being tempted by the devil. And the weapon Jesus uses to fight the devil was the written word of God. Jesus fought by quoting from the scripture, from Deuteronomy. Next, we learn that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the news spread about Jesus as he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Then Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom, his habit, his way of life. The action here in Nazareth has been divinely ordered. As Jesus stands to read the scripture, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. Now, I want you to take a moment and learn how important the public gathering of worship truly is. It is here in the gathering to worship, to hear the scriptures. We find Jesus was regularly doing that in the synagogue as his custom. He gathered to worship God. It was his regular habit. As the Son of God lived the regular habit of weekly worship, let us also follow and do the same. Make regular worship attendance your habit, as your teacher Jesus showed you through his own example. And as was his custom on the Sabbath in Nazareth, he was there in the synagogue. And we see a divine ordering of events taking place. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah is handed to Jesus. Then Jesus unrolls the scroll to find a very specific passage. A passage to declare who he was, a passage to declare what he has come to do. I read from you God's holy word, Luke chapter 4, beginning at the 14th verse. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These words Jesus is reading are from the scroll of Isaiah that is written about 700 years before this moment in Nazareth. Then Jesus sits down. He's taking the traditional position of a teacher, which is to sit down to teach. And all eyes fasten on him. Imagine Just imagine being in that synagogue. Imagine being there as Jesus sits down. What will he say? What will he teach? Then Jesus says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let the profoundness of these words penetrate. In Jesus, as he begins to teach, the words that were written 700 years before are in that moment being brought to completion, which means to be fulfilled. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointed me to preach good news." The gospel means good news to those who need the good news, those who are captive in sin, separated from God, blinded from the truth, oppressed by the evil one. Jesus has come with glad tidings. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus has come to deliver. This man in Nazareth has come to fulfill the scripture. This man who many thought was the son of Joseph, as Jesus had grown up in the hometown of Nazareth. Once he was a carpenter. He was an apprentice. Once Jesus was a child in that town. Once Jesus was a toddler in that town. They had watched Jesus grow up before their very eyes. Step back in time. Elizabeth, in her old age, is expecting a child. Her husband Zechariah was visited by Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, and has been silent these many months for doubting the message of the Lord's messenger. Elizabeth is showing she's now in her sixth month of pregnancy, and Gabriel is sent out again with a message to another. Mary, engaged to Joseph. Gabriel tells Mary she will have a child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary asks, "How?" For Mary has been obeying the scripture and is waiting for marriage. There is no possibility Mary could have a child. In answer, Gabriel tells her, "Elizabeth, her kin, is with child in her old age. Elizabeth, thought to be barren, now is in her sixth month." Then Gabriel states, "Nothing is impossible with God." Impossible. Impossible. The Greek word is arunael. And its meaning does not have the strength, does not have the power, does not have the ability. Too weak. It cannot be done. But in front of that Greek word, you have another Greek word, which is the negative, ouk. Before that word impossible, you have that negative word ouk, which makes a double negative, which means the message of Gabriel is God has the power, God has the ability, God has the strength, and God will do it. It is not impossible with God. Mary, you will be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary answers, "She is the Lord's servant." God's power, the very power that brought forth all of creation by a word, now has done something so extraordinary that will be a one and only occurring one-time event. God has stepped into creation. A child is conceived. to grow as a baby in a womb, just like any other child. God has come into his creation, conceived, and will grow as a baby, like any other baby in a womb. This is an unequivocal truth of Scripture. Life begins at conception, and no amount of philosophical jargon can deny that truth. The testimony from God's work makes it abundantly clear: life begins at conception. And we see this. Soon after the visit of Gabriel, Mary travels to see her kin, Elizabeth. Listen again to what happened those years ago. It's recorded in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 40. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Follow the sequence of what happened here. Mary's greeting reaches Elizabeth's ear. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. Now, I remember watching my wife's belly, and as that baby was moving around and watching her grimaces that would come with it sometimes as the baby moved, and you just mesmerized there. That's a foot. That must be an elbow. Oh, it could be a heel. That's the butt. Just memorize. I was amazed. Now, I cannot comprehend what she was feeling as the baby moved around, but I was mesmerized. That's a child. I simply wonder. Now, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. Oh my goodness, that must have been, for Elizabeth. I don't know, you tell me later sometimes perhaps. But I can only imagine. Then the Holy Spirit, that painful moment of the baby leaping, and the Holy Spirit comes in, and Elizabeth sees Mary as the mother of the Lord. Mary is with child, revealed by the Lord God to Elizabeth, and it's confirming the words spoken by the angel Gabriel. Mary is with child. She is pregnant, not by human intimacy, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary is pregnant for a week or two at most. Let that sink in. She's recognized as the mother of our Lord. And she can't be more than 2 weeks pregnant because of the timeline that Luke is writing here. Think about that. Mary comes, her voice reaches Elizabeth, and John, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, leaps for joy. Elizabeth was in 6 months when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Mary stays with Elizabeth about 3 months, but Mary is not there when Elizabeth gives birth to the promised son, John. I invite you to read the Gospel of Luke, this section, for yourself. Do the monthly calculation. Do the counting of days. Mary is newly pregnant, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. The very baby that is to prepare the way for the promised Messiah leaps for joy because the Messiah is coming. And so I ask you, when was the last time you leaped for joy in a worship service? When was the last time you really leaped for joy? Now, I like watching soccer. English Premier Soccer is very competitive. The World Cup is just around the corner. And when a goal is scored, that celebration ensues. I mean, the tighter and harder the match, the greater the celebration. And they go running, and then oftentimes they jump on their knees and they slide on the turf, maybe 20 feet or so, and then they jump up in this, sometimes grabbed and hugs and piling ons, and you've seen that, scoring a goal. I mean, it's great joy. Now, the excitement and the emotion, it just can't be contained. It has to be expressed in action. And I tell you, if you really want to hear the excitement of a goal being scored, listen to a soccer match in Spanish. And the commentator goes, "Goal! Goal!" If you watch Spanish soccer, you know what I mean. I mean, they're so excited, our English commentators. Goal. No, it's goal! I mean, the excitement just fills the place. Luke 1, chapter 1, starting in verse 43. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Elizabeth and the child John in her womb recognized the presence of the Lord." Do you recognize the presence of the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, is such a joyous event. All things changed with the coming of Jesus. Jesus was sent to preach the good news. Really, to help you get a good idea how good this is. Okay, ready? Good news! Okay, you. It's good news! I mean, I wish I could do it with more enthusiasm than Spanish soccer commentator. I mean, it's good news. You should be rejoicing and leaping for joy. Let that childlike faith explode in your heart again. And let it just rise up in your soul again. Really rejoice. Your sins are forgiven. Really rejoice. Let that child in you shout for joy. You are redeemed. You have eternal life. More than that, you have the very presence of the living God. Can you just imagine gathering around that baptismal font, and as soon as the baptized child or adult, whatever age, you are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit and marked with the Christ, cross of Christ forever. Yay! All right! I mean, see him running down the aisle going, "Oh, yeah!" That's what we're talking about here. This is joy. Real joy. I mean, think about that. From Isaiah chapter 61, that is the verses Jesus was quoting from in Luke chapter 4 that I read. Isaiah 61. "I've been anointed to preach the good news." That's Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 7, it says, a portion of that, "And everlasting joy will be theirs." Isaiah 61, verse 10, part of that. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Is the joy running up? "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. He has clothed me with garments of salvation, arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Clothed with a garment of salvation, robed in righteousness. His righteousness you are robed in. Do you see how good this news is? He has clothed me with a garment of salvation, arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. So I ask you, do we dare? Do we dare here in worship? Shall we take a chance that the roof won't fall in or something might? I invite you, as you are able, to rise. Do you dare leap for joy? As you're able, I don't want to have go 911. Okay, be cautious, but I really want you to leap for joy. Do you understand how good this is, that you are clothed with salvation in robes of righteousness? This is such good news. So as we did with, you already had practice, so you should do extra well. I invite you to leap for joy and just shout for joy when I say leap for joy. One, two, three, leap for joy. Yay! Okay, you Lutherans, do you feel weird? Okay, let's do it again. I mean, leap for joy. Yay! That's the good news of Christ has come. Rejoice! A Savior is born. Amen and amen.